Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions. Does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. All right, now here's part two of a message called Why God Made You.
God put you on this planet for 80 years, at 100 years or most, to practice what you're going to do in heaven. He wants you to practice here. This life is preparation for the next. And one of the things you're going to do in heaven is love God. So he wants you to practice here. He wants you to learn how to love him here. He wants you to learn to worship here because we're going to worship in heaven. And the other thing, we're going to fellowship in heaven. We're going to love each other in the family of God. That's called fellowship. What's he want you to do? He wants you to practice here. He wants you to learn how to love God and how to learn other people, love other people here on earth. So when you get to heaven, you're not a doofus. You know exactly what to do. So write this down. The second purpose of my life, what on earth am I here for, is to learn to love others. Learn to love others. And the place you learn to love others is in God's family. The church is the laboratory for learning how to love. You don't learn how to love in business. You don't learn how to love in school. You don't learn how to love competing with other people in sports. The church, God's family, is the laboratory for learning real love. Now, I've heard people say this. Well, I don't really need the church. All I need to do is get alone in nature, and then I can love God. Well, that's true. Actually, that is true. And God created that nature, and that's why we feel close to God in nature. And it is true, you can get alone in nature and love God. But you can't get alone in nature and love other people. And that's the second purpose of your life. And your life has more than one purpose. It has five. And the only way you're going to learn to love people, I hate to tell you this, is by getting around some unlovely people. Now, don't look at them. You got to be around unlovely people. I've told you this before. If you can't think who are the unlovely people in my life, I hate to tell you this, it's you. Okay? Now, God wants us to learn to love real people with all of their quirks and their faults and their flaws and their social, you know, mess ups and things like that. God wants you to learn real love, real people, not ideal people. You know, I'll love people in heaven. Yeah, in heaven, to dwell above with those we love, that will be a glory. But to dwell below with those we know, that's another story. God says, no, this is why you're here, not in heaven first. I want you to learn real love where it's difficult, where you have to learn that love is a choice. Romans 12, verse 5 says this, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. You will not make it in your purposes in life without being a part of a spiritual family. Number three, write this down. God created me to become like Christ. That's the third purpose in life. God created me to become like Christ. And once you understand this, life's going to make a whole lot more sense because God wants you to grow up spiritually, and the model of perfection is Jesus. Jesus is the only perfect human being who ever lived because he was God come to earth in human form. He lived a perfect life. He showed us exactly what it meant to be fully human. So God wants you to learn to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to respond like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to value like Jesus. This is the third purpose in your life. Once you're born into the family, God wants you to grow up in the family. And the model for growth is Jesus Christ. Now, God is far more interested, don't miss this, God is far more interested in who you are than what you do. We're always worried about, what does God want me to do? God, what job should I have? Where should I go to work? Where should I go to school? What should I do? And we're always worried about what we should do. God is much more interested not in what you do, but in what you become. And the reason why is you're not taking your career to heaven. You're not taking your car to heaven. You're not taking your cash to heaven, how much money you're making. You're not taking your china to heaven. You're taking your character. The only thing that's going to heaven after your 80 years or so here on earth is you. You're not taking any of your accomplishments. You're not taking any of your achievements. You're not taking any of your acquisitions. You're not taking any of your things you've piled up, stockpiled, money, materialism, stuff like that. None of that's going to heaven. The only thing that's going to heaven is the person you became, the man you became, the woman you became. The only thing you're taking to heaven is your character. And God puts you on this planet to develop your character, to grow up spiritually, and to become like Jesus Christ, because that's what he's interested in. He's not interested in what you do. He's interested in who you are. Now, let me show you a couple verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. From the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would. He knows who's going to come into his family. He knows who's going to accept him, who's going to let him adopt him into the family. All along he knew who would. He decided that those who came to him should become like his son. It's always been the plan of God that you become like Jesus. Colossians 1:15. We look at the Son, Jesus, and see God's original purpose in everything created. Now, this is not plan B. It's been God's plan from the very beginning. Even before Adam sinned, God created Adam and said, let's make man in our image. From the very beginning, God has been wanting to make us like himself. Now, God doesn't want you to become a god. You're never going to become a god. Never, 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 never. You're never going to be a god. Now, there's a whole movement out there called New Age movement that says, you're a god. You're a goddess. God is within you. You're the god. You're the master of your universe. You're not a god. You're not even a mini-me god. I mean, if you're a god, why don't you solve all your problems? You're not a god, and you never will be. You can't solve the problems of the world. You can't solve your own problems. You're not a god. And that New Age is actually, Satan told this to Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's the first lie. He said, eat this fruit and you'll be God. It's not New Age, it's old lie. In fact, it's the oldest lie that you're a God. That is the oldest lie in the universe. You're never going to be a God. But God says, I don't want you to be a God, I want you to become godly. That means tell the truth like I tell the truth. Be faithful like I'm faithful. Love like I love. Be patient and forgiving like I'm patient and forgiving. God says, I want you to be godly. I want you to become like me in character, in wisdom, in your values and in who you are. Now, when things happen to you, the normal question you ask is the word why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening now? And the answer to all the why questions of life is this: to make you like Jesus. To make you like Jesus. If God's gonna make you like Jesus, he's gonna take you through everything Jesus went through. And Jesus wasn't spared from difficulty. Was there times when Jesus was lonely? Yes. Time when he was misunderstood? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was disappointed by people? Yes. Were there times when he was tempted to be discouraged and give up? Yes. Were there times when he was just tempted? Yes. And if God let his own son go through all that, don't you think he's gonna let you go through it too? Yes. Why? Because he's more interested in your character than your comfort. This is not the comfort side of life. The comfort's going to come in eternity. Comfort's going to come in heaven. This is the classroom side of life where you are to learn. And some things you only learn through difficulty. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, in your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. This is the third purpose for your life. You must learn to think and act like Christ Jesus. So, if I'm supposed to think and act like Christ Jesus, what is Jesus like? Well, I've told you this before, that the perfect picture of Jesus in the Bible is Galatians 5:22 and 23. It's often called the fruit of the Spirit. And it lists nine qualities. It says in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Nine qualities. What is that? That's a perfect picture of Jesus. God wants you to love like Jesus, to be at peace like Jesus, to be patient like Jesus. God wants you to be faithful like Jesus. God wants you to have self-control like Jesus had self-control. Now, here's the question. How does God teach us the fruit of the Spirit? How does God make us like Jesus? Like, for instance, if God wants to turn me into a great loving person, a real lover, what am I doing? I'm just gonna walk down the street one day and all of a sudden, zap, I'm zapped with love. And I love everybody. And just call me Buddy Love, you know? No, it doesn't happen that way. There's no pill you can take that's gonna make you patient for the rest of your life or loving for the rest of your life or faithful for the rest of your life. There's no seminar, there's no book. There's no experience that's going to zap you, and all of a sudden, you're like Jesus, and you never have a problem, and you're never tempted again. It's a lifelong process, becoming like Jesus. That process is called discipleship. Worship, fellowship, discipleship are the first three purposes of life. Know and love God, learn to love others, and grow up like Christ. And that it takes time, and it takes, and God, here's how does God do it? He puts you in the exact opposite situation. Now, it's easy to love people who are lovely. If God's gonna teach you real love, he's gonna put you around unlovely people so that you have to learn to love. Love is a choice. It's easy to love people who are cool like you. No, if God's gonna teach you real love, he puts you around some people that are difficult to love. They're hard to love. When they talk, they spit on you and, you know, that kind of stuff. And they irritate you and they get in your face and they talk too much and on and on and on and on. And they irritate you and they're like heavenly sandpaper. God's teaching you love. How about joy? How does God teach you joy? Joy is different than happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. If things are going good in your life, you're happy. If things are going bad, you're unhappy. Happiness depends on circumstances. I go to Disneyland and I'm happy, the happiest place on earth. When I come out, I realize how much I spent. I'm not happy. I spent way too much money in the happiest place on earth, and it didn't last. But before I get to the goofy parking lot, I'm already sad again. Joy is different from happiness. Joy is internal and joy is eternal. You learn joy in the middle of grief. I could talk to you a lot about that one. How to learn joy in the middle of grief. Patience. How does God teach you patience? By testing it. By irritations, by chaos. It's easy to be patient and at peace when everything's going your way. If you're on a backpacking thing up in the Colorado Rockies and you're in a beautiful stream fly fishing, you go, it doesn't get any better than this. And well, anybody can be peaceful and patient when things are going your way, but real peace and real patience is learned in the middle of chaos. Peace is learned in the middle of difficulty. How does God teach you patience? Department of Motor Vehicles. All right. Traffic jams. Doctors' waiting rooms. Have you ever been in a hurry and God's not? When you're sitting in God's waiting room and you've asked for God to answer prayer and God doesn't seem to be in any hurry to answer it. And you say, God, I need this right now. And God just doesn't seem to be in any hurry. You're in God's waiting room. What's he doing? He's trying to teach you patience. One time I was going through some really bad trials, bad difficulties, and I prayed, God, I need patience. And instead of the problems getting better, they got worse. And then I prayed, God, I need patience, and they got more worse. And I said, God, I really, really need patience, and they got really bad. And after about 6 months, I realized I'm a lot more patient than when I started out 6 months ago. And so God wants to make character in your life. That's why you have problems. If you had no problems, if you got every prayer instantly answered, like a, you know, vending machine, you put in the prayer and pull out the cigarettes or whatever, a vending machine will give you bad stuff. God won't. If you got everything you want, everything went your way, you had no problems, you would be a spoiled brat. self-centered brat. And the whole goal of life is learning unselfishness. Learning it's not about you. Some people never learn that. It's not about you. So most people end up at the end of their life still thinking it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about learning to love God and learning to love other people. And that's where fulfillment and joy and purpose comes from. We must become, think and act like Jesus Christ. Now this is a lifelong journey. Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more and more, in other words, progressively, it's a transition, more and more like him. So what does God do to make you like Jesus? He uses truth, you're listening to it right now. He uses trouble, he uses trials. God uses temptations to make you like Jesus. Why? Jesus was tempted. Temptation is just a choice. You say, well, it's a choice to do bad. Well, it's also a choice to do good. It's just a choice. And every time you have a temptation, when you choose to do bad, you know, you're defeated. When you choose to do good, you grow. So temptation, every time you have a temptation and you respond correctly, you actually grow. You grow more like Jesus. He uses people. What am I saying? You know those problems you don't like in your life? Every problem has a purpose. And that purpose is to make you like Jesus. There is no situation in your life you cannot grow from if you'll just trust Jesus and if you'll just learn to respond in the right way. So I want you to write this down. The third purpose of my life is to grow up spiritually. First I'm born again, then I grow up. And God wants you to grow up and he wants you to develop spiritual depth. Is it possible to grow old without growing up? Yeah, again, don't look at them. But you know people who are growing older every day and not growing up. And they're stuck in perpetual adolescence or stuck in perpetual infancy. One of the biggest problems in America today is shallow living. One of the most biggest problems in America today is immature people who refuse to grow up. We are a nation of spiritual babies. What is the hallmark of a spiritual baby? Babies are 100% self-centered. A baby can't think of anybody else. All can think about is me, 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 I, my needs. I want it now. Babies don't know the difference between no and not yet. Babies don't know how to delay gratification. Babies have to have instant fulfillment. Babies have to have focused on their feelings, short-term thinking, manipulated by their moods. I've got to have it now. That sounds like American culture. We have a very immature spiritual baby culture where everybody wants to talk about my rights. I got to do what's best for me and not their responsibilities. God says, I want you to grow up. Mark chapter 4, verse 17, talks about shallow people. It says, some people have such a shallow soil of character that when their emotions wear off, oh, I praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. They're fair weather believers. So my first purpose is to know him and love him back. Then God formed me for his family. My second purpose is to get in his family, the church, and learn how to love other people. Then God created me to become like Christ. And the third purpose of life is he wants me to grow up spiritually. He wants me to grow up spiritually. You might write that down. Then number four, the fourth purpose of life is once you begin to know God and love God and you begin to grow in God, then he wants you to learn to serve him. And here's the fourth thing. God shaped me to serve him. God shaped me to serve him. And he uniquely shaped you in a way like no one else. There are no two people on the planet the same. You are unique in every single way. You have a unique voice print. You have a unique eye print. You have a unique thumbprint, fingerprints. You have a unique footprint. You have a unique chemistry. You have a unique heartbeat. No heart beats exactly the same as any others. God creates every snowflake different. God overdoes it in diversity and variety. God does not clone anything. Humans do, but God never copies and never clones. So nobody in history before you will ever be like you, and nobody after you in eternity in the future will ever be like you. And God uniquely shaped you to fulfill a unique purpose here on the planet Earth. And this is the contribution he wants you to make. Now remember that in heaven, one of the things you're going to do is you're going to serve God. And so God wants you to learn to practice here. Now here's what the Bible says, Psalm 139, verse 13. You shaped me, God, first inside and then out, and you formed me in my mother's womb. Now, here at Saddleback, we use a little acrostic to say the unique shape that God has given you. S-H-A-P-E, spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. These are five categories where you're different in every area there from everybody else. For instance, God has given you unique spiritual gifts. You're gifted in some areas, and you don't even realize it. And one of the things about giftedness is you're good at some stuff, and you think everybody's good at it, but they're not. You're good at it. And then God gives you a unique heart. What is your heart? That's your passion. Your passion is what you love to do. Gifts is what you're good at. Passion is what you love to do. Have you ever realized that the reason you like some things and don't like some things is God gave you that shape? Why are some things really interesting to you and other things bore you to tears? Because of your heart, your emotional, your passion. Why are some things, some hobbies you're interested in, others you couldn't care less about? Some things wind your crank and turn you on. Some things bore you to tears. God made us all with different hearts, emotional hearts. We all like to do different things. Why? That way everything gets done. If everybody liked to do the same thing in life, there'd be a lot left undone. So God gives us all different interests and different hearts. It came from God. We're given different abilities. Some of you are really good at math. Some of you stink at math. You should never look at a number. You're just not good at it. Some of you are good with words, and others, you're not good with words. You may be good with plants. You may be good with animals. You may be good with people. Some of you are good at drawing, and some of us are just stick figure kind of people. You may be good at music. You may be good at mechanics. There are literally thousands of different kinds of abilities, and that's what shapes you. And then there's your personality. We all have different personalities. Some people like routine. Some people like, they want to do the same thing every day. Some people like variety. They want to do something different every day. Some people like to work in a group, and some people like to work on their own. That's personality. Some of you are morning songbirds, and some of you are night owls. Okay? How many of you are morning people? You like this, like up into the pool, let's get going, man. You're morning people, all right? How many of you are night owls? You say, I don't believe in God before 11 a.m. Yeah. Here, now, let me let you in on a little secret. Morning people always marry night people. It's God's sense of humor. Opposites attract, then opposites attack. And God puts you together and goes, this will be fun. Watch the sparks fly. This will be really cool. And the reason why is we need each other's differences. If you married somebody identically like you, you're going to be bored with them and you can't grow. The greater your differences, the greater the potential for growth, the greater you can become like Jesus Christ.
That was such an encouraging message from Pastor Rick. And now here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
One of the things that I've discovered is that everybody eventually asks the questions of significance. Why am I here? And what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? So I've updated the Purpose-Driven Life because I wanted to help people like you understand how God created us for five eternal purposes. The Bible says that long before we heard of Christ, he had his eye on us, had his designs on us for glorious living, that it was part of his overall purpose that he's working out in everything and everyone. God has never made a person that he doesn't have a purpose for. You know, that simple message needs to be shared with a whole new generation. A young girl who was 12 years old when I wrote Purpose-Driven Life is now 22. And she needs to hear this essential message that God has a plan, has a purpose, and has a reason for everything that happens in our lives. What I did is after reading
hundreds of thousands of comments that have come into me over the past decade, I've added two new chapters that'll help you handle the two most common problems and barriers to living a life of purpose. Now I want you to have this newly revised, expanded copy of Purpose Driven Life. I think you'll find it's a fresh reminder of things that you may have forgotten when you first read it. Or you might want to give the book to somebody who has never read it and is struggling to find their purpose. So this month, I'm offering to you a hardback copy of the updated, expanded edition of Purpose Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.